So the question I wanted to ponder, and I was pondering, is how do we give God glory? It says in Isaiah 43, verse 7, it says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory." So we were created, God created us for his glory. So every day when we wake up, we could ask ourselves, "Lord, today I want to give you glory. I was created for your glory." And I guess when I was younger, I thought, okay, giving God glory is just singing, singing, okay, we will glorify the King of Kings, we will glorify the Lamb, just singing songs to him. And that's one small way we can give him glory. And there's a verse in Psalm 51, verse 23, it says, "Whoever offers praise glorifies me." So offering praise and giving thanks is one way to glorify God, and so important. And that's something that it says, this is the will of God, that we rejoice always and everything give thanks. So the will of God is to rejoice and give thanks and to offer praise. And that's one way we glorify him. But there's another way that is the key to glorifying the Father. And it's found in John 15. And I've been talking about, last week I talked about it as well, starting with fruit and bearing fruit and the fruits of the Spirit. And I talked about the first fruit as being love. And so let's read from John 15. In verse 1, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them in the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples." There's the answer. How do we glorify the Father? Every morning we wake up, we say, "Lord, this is the day I want to give you glory. You deserve my glory. You deserve to receive glory." And to glorify the Father is to bear much fruit. And what is the fruit that we're bearing? Galatians 5, the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I remember when I was young, my mom had this art thing and had little blocks of wood attached to a ribbon, and each one had a fruit of the Spirit on it. Love, joy. And I would wake up and it was hanging on my little cork board, and I could see that love, joy. That's how I can just remember it. Just come off in that exact order. And that, some versions have a different way of saying it, long suffering, but it's patience was on there. And so I can still see that the fruit of the Spirit all laid out there. God wants fruit from my life. And it says in some versions, it says, "And so that's how you prove to be my disciples." That's how we prove to be his disciple. If our life is not bearing fruit, it proves we're not a disciple. If our life is bearing fruit, it proves we are a disciple. That's how we show or prove that we are disciples. It says a good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree will bear bad fruit. And in Matthew, I think it's, I'll just flip back here, get it accurate here. In chapter 7, I think in Matthew, it says in verse 18, or 17, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit, and a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear a good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That lines up with what John 15 says. The branches that aren't bearing fruit, they're cut down, right? And it says, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So we can know by fruit, right? We prove by the fruit if we're a disciple. We'll know, even we can see fruit, right? If fruit becomes evident and manifest, so we will know people by their fruit if they're a disciple or not. Because he's telling you, you got to be careful right after that. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So he's saying we have to be careful. Not everyone who says, I'm a Christian, Jesus is my Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's saying. But it's he who does the will of my Father. And the will of the Father is to glorify him, to bear much fruit. Because he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, haven't we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice sin. The ones who aren't bearing fruit. The ones who are actually bearing bad fruit. Because it says a bad tree will bear bad fruit. If you look at thorn bushes and thistles, they're not bearing apples and oranges and grapes. Thorns and thistles aren't doing that. They're bearing bad fruit. They're bearing thorns and other seed to produce more thorns. And weeds aren't bearing good fruit. They're producing more seed to spread across and produce more weeds. But apple trees have seed within the apple. Every fruit has seed to bear more fruit of its kind. Let's look in Romans chapter 7. It says in verse 4, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to Christ who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. That's encouraging. We've been married to another. When we become dead to the law, when we become a Christian, we die to our old man and we become married to Christ. The reason is so that we should bear fruit to God. And then the opposite is that bad tree here in verse 5. When we were in the flesh, when we were a bad tree, when we were in the flesh in the sinful passions which were aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. See, there's two types of fruit there. When we're in the flesh, we bear fruit to death. But when we come to Christ, we're married to Christ, we can bear fruit to God. And so I remember when I was a youth, maybe 20 years old, I remember one night, you know, I was bearing fruit. Like outwardly, I did look pretty good. For the most part, I looked pretty good. But I remember I was so dead on the inside and there was so much corruption going on in my mind, in my heart, and behind closed doors. So much corruption. And I remember opening the Bible to Luke chapter 3. And in verse 7, when John the Baptist was preaching, and you know, he did come to preach repentance. He was preaching a difficult word. And he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him. So there's people that are coming out and they want to be baptized. And this is what he's telling the people that want to be baptized. Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Bear fruit in keeping with, some versions say, in keeping with repentance. That means, hey, if you want to be baptized, you must have repented already and you should have fruit. But there was Pharisees and scribes there. It says some of them even want to be baptized. He knew their fruit wasn't good. And so he's saying, you got to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And don't say, we have Abraham as our father, so we're all good. You know, Abraham's my father. I had that in my heart growing up. Okay, I was born in a Christian home. I had a good upbringing, and I went to church regularly, so I'm okay. I'm good. I went to a Christian school, so I'm safe. It's okay. But then when the scripture started to speak to my heart and I had conviction of my guilt, of my shame, I knew there was a problem and that I wasn't just okay. I couldn't trust in my mom and dad anymore and their salvation. I couldn't trust in my Christian upbringing. I had to come to him myself and I had to be saved from my bad attitude. I had a terrible bad attitude towards my mom. You know, a lot of rebellion. If she asked me questions, I wouldn't answer her questions. I didn't want to tell her where I was. I didn't want to tell her what I was doing. I just would kind of be quiet, you know, the rebellion, a lot of it was inward I wouldn't yell at her or anything, but I just wouldn't be loving towards her. I would just kind of ignore it doesn't matter. And I wouldn't show kindness. And my mom is the kindest woman, mother, to me, because she was so kind. And other people know her. She's very giving and generous, and she'd give everything to people. And she was so kind to me. And my response was just, I don't want to talk to you because of the rebellion in my heart. And when I read this, it was like, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Every tree that's not bearing. And I read that and I'm like, Lord, I'm not a good tree. I'm bearing bad fruit in my life. I can't trust in the fact that I go to church on Sundays because I bear bad fruit. I'm a slave of sin. And it says a slave will not buy in the house forever. And that if I practice sin, I will not inherit the kingdom of God, it says in Galatians 5. And that started to cut my heart. And it was, you know, that night I didn't repent of my sin. But it was the sowing of the word that I started to be like, Lord, I want to change, but I don't know how. And I remember that specifically. The axe is already at the root of the tree. And I was like, Lord, I know that when there's a parable, when there's a tree that's not bearing fruit and it says, the vine dresser said, should we cut it down? Or people are saying, should we cut it down? And they said, no, give it another year. Dig around the roots. Dig around it. It wasn't bearing fruit, but he says, no, just dig around it and do what you can, right? And that's what the Lord does. I wasn't bearing fruit for many years. And he had patience with me. He was patient and he dug around my life. And you know, when you dig around the roots, you kind of cause a little damage. And the tree has to decide, am I going to die or am I going to live? Am I going to get my roots down now by the water? And that's what kind of digging around the roots so it can get the water. And you might cut into it a little bit. But the tree has a choice to make, right? And the Lord had kindness on me. He allowed things in my life, right? I've shared before, to get me to humble myself before him. And so he could change me. So the Lord is coming for fruit. He wants fruit in our life. And John 12. In verse 23, it says, but Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit, much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. There's the key to fruit. We have to go into the ground and die. We have to die to our own life. Otherwise, we can't bear fruit. If we die, we shall be raised with him. And then his Holy Spirit in us will produce fruit in our life. And Jesus, he died naturally. But before he ever died naturally, he died to his own will. He even prayed, you know, right before he went on the cross, not my will, but yours be done. He was dying there. He was dying. He died. He had siblings, at least six siblings. He never sinned. He would have had to die to those siblings who were sinners. They would have been, we saw examples of, oh, you know, why aren't you going to the feast? You know, or why don't you just show yourself to the people and so on. Like they didn't believe at first, but they believed later. Jude, James, brothers of Jesus, believed because he died to himself right from young. He was dying. He was going to the ground and dying to his own will and his own ways. And he was doing his Father's will. And that's how we bear fruit. And then the Father says, or he says in verse 27, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. How was the Father's name glorified? It was glorified in Christ's life. He will be glorified again. How will he be glorified again? Well, he was glorified when he died on the cross and that Satan was defeated there. He was glorified. And now he's glorified in us because we are his disciples. Because he died, we can live. Because he died, we can have of his spirit so that we can also bear fruit to holiness. So I'm just going to touch briefly here. I just wanted to talk about the importance of fruit first. How important it is that we bear fruit. Just if we just look in our own lives and say, Lord, are we bearing fruit for you? Are we glorifying your name? And I'm going to touch, I'll share maybe one verse or two on, because I talked about love last week, which is the main fruit we need, the greatest commandment. We need love. The next one is joy. The Lord wants us to have joy. He wants us to be joyful. And the key to joy, or he says here in verse, back in John 15, if you keep my, in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So, in verse 9 I didn't read, but I should read it. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So it starts by we need to abide in his love. Abide, trust, know, have faith. Christ loves us so much, and that he, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. It's a foundation of our life that we know that the love of Christ, that we know the love of the Father. We have to know that. That is a foundation. That's one side of the other side of the coin now is, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So we have to know the love of God, and then we have to keep his commandments. It's like trust and obey, that wonderful hymn. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Two sides of the coin. Trusting without obedience is what the demons do. It says that even the demons believe and they tremble, but they don't have works. So trust and obey. That's a verse from James, right? So we need to trust and obey. And that's the key to having joy and being happy in Jesus. And the commandment he says there is, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. A sacrificial love of laying down our life. I touched on that verse last week. Through obeying that commandment of loving, that's how we access the joy. So the fruit is in order. Love and then joy. We can't get joy unless we have the love. Right? And we can't have the love unless we don't have the Holy Spirit. And we can't get the Holy Spirit unless we repent and believe. Right? So that's joy. The next one is peace. You know that the desire for the Lord Jesus is to give us peace. He doesn't want us to be anxious. That's why there's a command, actually. Be anxious for nothing. It's a command. Have you ever thought of anxiety as being sin? Be anxious for nothing. He wants to give us victory over anxiety. It's unbelief, right? If we're anxious, it's not trusting. Not trusting in the Lord's plans and the Lord's ways for us. We can trust. And hey, I'm not saying that I've had victory over anxiety. I'm not there. I'm not a totally anxious person. But there are times when the day is busy or there's a stressful thing coming up and I can feel anxious and have to pray, Lord, help. I don't like this. I don't want to be anxious. I want to trust. Or a difficult situation, you know, a child sickness. You know, that can really get me. We've had lots of different sicknesses in our family and the kids and so on, and some in the hospital and some, you know, losing their hearing. And it's like, Lord, this can make me very anxious, but I know you want to work in me through this. Help me. I bring this to you. I know your ways are greater. Your ways are higher than my ways. You've allowed these things for a purpose. And so we can bring our cares before him because he cares for us. Proverbs 8, you don't need to turn there. I'll just read it briefly. Proverbs 8:32 says, "And so, my children, listen to me, for all who follow my ways are joyful." We read that on Friday. It says, blessed, you know, that word is actually blessed are those who follow my ways or my commands. That word is joyful. All who follow my ways are happy or joyful. So we can receive joy by following his ways. Okay, Proverbs 14, verse 7 says, Romans, 14, verse 7 says, "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." And it says in Luke 17, 21, that the kingdom of God is within us. So the kingdom of God is, we won't see it here or there. It's actually the kingdom of God is within. And it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 4:15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing," or all joy and peace as we trust in him. So as we trust and believe in our Lord Jesus Christ and in Father in heaven, he fills us with all joy and peace. It's a promise. He wants us to have joy. He doesn't want us to be gloomy and discouraged. He wants us to be joyful. He doesn't want us to be anxious and worried all the time. He wants us to give us peace. And you know, there's a peace because our sins are forgiven. Before our sins are forgiven, we have this sin. There's no rest. There's no peace. That's why we go here and there to try and find peace. That's why the woman at the well went to the well. She was going to draw water day after day and going to, that's a symbol, right? She was going to one husband after the other. She had five husbands. She didn't have peace. And so when we don't have the Lord, we go here and there to try and find peace. But Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." When we're justified by faith, there's peace. Ephesians 2 says, he himself, I think it's in 2, says he himself, Jesus himself is our peace. He is peace for us. Psalm 29:11 says, "The Lord will bless his people with peace." Another verse, 37:37 in Psalms 37:37 says, "Mark the blameless man, observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace." That's the future of someone who is blameless and upright. The future of that person. Do you want your future to be peace? Walk in a way that's blameless and upright. The future of that person is peace. The future of that person is also joy. By walking in obedience to our Father, we'll be the happiest people on the face of the earth. We'll be filled with joy, exceeding joy. So I just wanted to touch on that, and I'll end there. The importance of fruit, that's how we glorify the Father in heaven. The importance of fruit. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to be trees that bear fruit to his name. And that's how people will know. When we have the fruit of love, that's how people will know that we're his disciples. And it says, like I read, that's how we prove and show that we are his disciples, that we are bearing much fruit. And we will glorify his name. Amen.